We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good morning, Brevard County. I am back in Florida. I wish I could say I was back in sunny Florida, but it's pretty rainy out there this morning. And we are live in the studios of WMIE 91.5 FM. And so I'd just like to start off this program today by saying thank you for everyone who was following our family situation there in Oklahoma and joined us in praying. God did great and mighty things. We met some people. We saw people who weren't expected to live, and they lived. And so we're very excited about that. I'll share a little bit more about everything that took place, or not everything, because I was there for 7 days. So I won't bore you with all of the details. But thank you for standing in faith with us and praying. My mother recovered enough to where they took her off the ventilator, kicked her out of the intensive care unit, and then kicked her out of the hospital and sent her home. And she is getting stronger day by day. So let me start off today by saying thank you to Creative AC Solutions, 759-328-4321, 759-328-4. If you need any help with your heating or air conditioning in the central Brevard County area, you can give Bill Andriak a call, 321-759-3284, and he can get you up and running. You know, this is the time of year that I love for my system to get a break, so where it doesn't have to function all of the time. And if you are like me, it's also probably a good time to go out there. If you have an outside unit, a condensing unit, go out there, hose that off with a garden hose, clean off everything and make sure that it is functioning. But if you do not know how to do that, Bill Andriak can help you out. 321-759-3284. Hopefully you won't need the heater too much more the rest of the year, but it won't be that long until the air conditioner is needed and you want that to be working. This weekend when I got back from Oklahoma, one of the things that I had to do was take care of an air filter. By the way, if you haven't ever considered that, you want to change that air filter about once a month. And if you've got pets in your house, you might want to look at it a little more frequently than that. It really does help prolong the life of your unit. So let me take you to Hebrews chapter 10 today. I'd called in that little greeting that I had for you from the hospital. I was actually in the hospital when I made that phone call, and when I called that in, I just after I made the phone call, let's put it this way, I thought of several things to say. If this program sounds familiar, well, that's because 3 months ago it was what was on the air then. But anyway, such is life. That was just, I was like, man, I wish I'd said that instead. I don't know if you have moments like that, but I do. I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 10. We are talking about the faithfulness of God, and I want to begin reading in verse number 16. I'm going to read all the way through verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 16 through 25, and it says, "This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them." Then he adds, "Their sins and lawless deeds I will remember no more." We're going to talk about that a little bit a little bit later on a different program. "Now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another so much, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." So in this passage, we begin to see what we've already talked about in one of our earliest programs in discovering the fruit of the Spirit on is faithfulness, is that we have a high priest who is faithful. He is faithful in all God's house. And it is because of his faithfulness that we can rest assured in the forgiveness of our sins, that he will write his commandments on the tablets of our heart. He will put them in our mind. One of the things I was sharing yesterday was that we're asking God to give us a holy mindset in 2018. If we want a different result in 2018 than what we had in 2017 or 2016, then we've got to put aside childish ways of thinking or immature ways of thinking or carnal ways of thinking, and we've got to allow God to develop in us the mind of Christ. And I was in 1 Timothy was where I was preaching from. It's actually a sermon that came about. I began doing some study on that as a result of some of the radio programs that I had done on this faithfulness topic. And I said, "God, I want you to give me a desire which affects a mindset, that it displaces the cravings of the carnal nature, and that it gives me something that I'm going to reach for, I'm going to stretch for, I'm going to work for." You see, God is looking to give you a desire in your heart that is going to result in actions and in the appropriation of your time to make those desires a reality through Christ Jesus. So Paul goes on, or the writer of Hebrews here goes on, and it says, "And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Verse 23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful." And, you know, like I've said before on this program, biblical hope is not wishful thinking. It is not a pie in the sky. It is not, I hope. Biblical hope is a confidence. It's a confidence in God and who he is. It's a confidence in God that he is faithful no matter what the circumstances. And so we hold fast that confession of our faith and our hope that we have in God, because he who promised is faithful. I want you to really grab hold of that verse. He who promised is faithful. And so as I was on my way to Oklahoma, it was an unexpected trip. It was very, very short notice. There were people, and when they found out why I was going to Oklahoma, they were like, "Oh, I'm sorry." And I said, "Oh no, everything's going to be okay." It wasn't a woe is me trip. It wasn't a, why is this happening to me? It wasn't any of that. You see, because I believe that God is faithful no matter what my circumstances look like. He's faithful. And because my mother has placed her faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I had every confident expectation that the will of God was going to be accomplished in that purpose, or in that situation, in that circumstance. And she was going to be fine. She was going to be fine. You see, with believers, whether we are here on this earth or whether we die and spend eternity with Jesus, everything's going to be okay. So I want to share that with you. The Sunday that I ended up in Oklahoma was National Right to Life Day. I was in my office when I got the phone call that my mother had, as the doctor put it, begun spiraling out of control. She had two different types of issues going on in her life. She had gone into septic shock and she had gone into cardiogenic shock. And that was a term I wasn't familiar with, septic shock. I knew what that was. I knew it was very serious. A friend of mine had that happen a year ago. I know how fragile life can be when you are going through septic shock. I'm familiar with that. The doctor said, it's not unusual for us to encounter people who are going into septic shock. We see some people who go into cardiogenic shock, and but it's very rare that we see people who are going through both types of shock at the same time. And as a result of that, all the doctors that were in that emergency room, they all came in to see her because she was like a textbook case. They're like, okay, we're going to go ahead and we're going to see what happens with this situation. And so, but the day that she ended up in intensive care and they put her on the ventilator, that was on a Saturday morning. And Sunday, well, I guess the first conversation that I got to have with the doctor was on Monday morning. I think my dad may have had one on Sunday, but he described how, you know, this cardiogenic shock, and no, I guess it was on Sunday. And as a result of that, my nephew's wife looked it up and said, unless this is treated right away, it is almost always fatal. And at that point in time, we began to thank God that she was right where she needed to be at just that same point in time for her to have the medical intervention that she needed. And that day she began to improve. Where Saturday she was spiraling out of control, she began to stabilize that day. She was critical and spiraling. And I think it was on Monday they said that she was critical and stable, and then the next day she was critical and more stable. So that was the situation that we faced. Also on that day, there was a couple, a young couple. They were in their 30s, and she was told that because of some issues that she had battled with health-wise, she would never be able to have a baby. And her father was there. He's a pastor in of a pretty good sized church in the area there. And we got to meet his family. I guess we got to meet them on Monday morning because of everything they were going through. They said this woman's never going to be able to have a baby. And so they had been married a couple of years. And all of a sudden, they said that she tested positive for being pregnant. And they were all excited. And then when they went back to their specialist, the specialist said, no, you're not pregnant. This is what happens when cancer comes back. And so there was a low, then there was a high, then there was a really low. And but guess what? She was pregnant. And on that day, on National Right to Life Sunday, she had a complication that arose. She ended up in the hospital. The baby almost died. The mother almost died. But that little 2.5-pound baby was born, was doing well. They didn't know if the mother was going to make it, but the mother survived, and she was doing well. And we were in the waiting room with the family, and there were three men in there that were preachers, and then there were two other men in the room that are ushers. They were joking that they needed two people to help with the offering, only there wasn't anybody left to take an offering from. But we got to have prayer. We got to have Thanksgiving in there. There was another person that came in And I'm telling you that God is faithful. He is faithful in more ways than you can comprehend. He is faithful to have the right people around you at just the right time. There was another family that was there, a young family. I'm going to say that the kids were probably in their 20s, maybe early 30s, but I really think it was in their 20s. And the father had gone into cardiac arrest at just the time when two of the kids who had been trained in CPR happened to be at the house at just that exact point in time. And they heard a noise that they weren't familiar with hearing coming from the room. And when they went in there, they found that their father had gone into cardiac arrest and that they were able to provide life-saving measures that the EMTs said when they got there that those life-saving measures had stabilized the situation and had caused him to be able to survive. You see, God is faithful. He is faithful. I want to implant in you today that God is faithful beyond your comfort. He is faithful in the most intense trial that you ever go through. He is faithful. The caregiver, the nurse practitioner that was in charge of my mother, he was also a believer. He is a minister. And he was praying with the family before I got there. And on Wednesday morning, my mother did not have the greatest Tuesday. Tuesday was more of a setback type of day. But on Wednesday, he came in and talked to the family and said, if I did not know the condition that she was in just yesterday, I would be asking her, why are you taking up a bed in my intensive care unit that somebody who's sick really needs? That's how remarkable a turnaround she had made in 24 hours. And when we walked back there, she was waving her hand. She could see us when we were coming. And she was able to get the ventilator out that day. The all of the specialists, the pulmonologist, the urologist, all of the cardiologists, they all came in and they were working as a team to help my mother to get better. And so on after the day after they took the ventilator out, they left her in intensive care one more day. Then they sent her to a hospital room. And on Thursday afternoon, one of the doctors who had seen her came in, and her statement was this: wow, if I did not know what condition you were in when you came into the hospital, I would not believe that. Knowing that, I would not believe you would be in the condition you are in now. And so literally she was moved from intensive care, and 12 hours later they were sending her completely home. And none of that is say, well, you know, praise God, at least my mama's alive. That's not what I praise God for. I praise God. I am thankful for that. I praise God because he is faithful, and people had seen the prayer. They had seen the love of a church. They had seen a love of other believers who were concerned. And so families that were in the intensive care unit, they were encouraging one another. And so I want to encourage you today to live out Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. One of Satan's primary tactics that he has used against people over and over and over again is he insults the integrity of God's character. He tries to sow seeds of doubt into people's hearts, into people's minds, to think that God is holding out on them, that God is trying to keep them suppressed instead of empowering them to be more than conquerors. And exactly the opposite is true. He tries to discredit God's motives. And I just want you to know today that God is faithful and Satan is a liar. It says, because of this, in verse number 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Another translation says, provoke one another unto good works. And I don't know about you, but when I think of the term provoke, it is something that people tend to use when they are talking about, you are provoking me and making me angry. But I want you to know at in the body of Christ that we are supposed to provoke one another, not in a negative way, but in a positive way, where we stir up love, we stir up good works, we bring out the best in people. We say, God, I tell you today that God has more in store for you than what the devil wants you to believe. And you are capable of doing so much more through the Savior that lives inside of you than what you could ever accomplish on your own. So I want to issue a challenge to you today, and that is, first of all, if you are having a little bit of doubt about God's mindset towards you, I want you to know that if you are a child of the living God, you've asked Him to be the Lord of your life, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. If you've asked Him that, and you've asked Him, say, God, I not only want to receive forgiveness, I want to bestow forgiveness, and so I want to lay aside the grudges that I've held against people. I want to forgive them for all the hurt and all the pain that they've ever done to me. When you've done that, I want you to understand, God, you're the apple of His eye. You're the apple of His eye. You're the child that He says, have you considered? Have you considered my child? I want you to know that God is for you. He's not looking negative on you. He created you, saved you, redeemed you, empowered you, equipped you with the Word so that you could do great exploits. The people that know their God shall do great exploits. It also says, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. One of the things that I firmly believe is that the body of Christ is better together than we are individually. I want to share one more testimony of what happened with my mother. I don't want to make it all about my family and things like that. I will also say this. There were people in intensive care before my mother got there. There were people in intensive care after my mother got there. There were people in intensive care after my mother left. And there are people in intensive care in hospitals all around the country right now. And God knows what each and every one of them has need of. So, we have a job to do. There are plenty of needs to go around. If you can't find anything to do, I want to challenge you to open your eyes and open your ears and say, God, what would you have me to do? Because there's a broken and wounded person somewhere in your realm of influence that needs a tangible witness of a faithful God. So we were keeping family members and friends updated, people who were praying. Our church was praying. My brother's church was praying. My sister goes to the same church as my parents, and they were praying. Actually, they were live streaming their service, and she was able to tune in on Sunday morning as they were praying for our mother right there. And so we were posting updates. We posted when there was progress. We posted when there were setbacks. We were posting when there was victory. And finally, when she was able to be discharged, I posted that online. And one of my mother's cousins made this comment. If I'm ever sick, now this is a believer. She doesn't go to an Assembly of God church. That's okay. But she does go to a church there in Oklahoma. She believes the Word. And she posted this. If I'm ever sick, please call Eastland Assembly of God. That's my parents' home church, and Bob's church in Florida. And then she posted LOL. Because I tell you, we're very grateful that God has given us access to the throne of grace to find help in time of need. And we're thankful when he answers our prayers the way that we would like him to answer them. But we're also thankful when he answers them the way that he is going to glorify his name the best. And so I just want to encourage you today that if you are going through a fiery trial, that God was faithful before the fire, he'll be faithful after the fire, and he will be faithful through the fire. And if there's anything that you have in your life that you are going through and you would just like for us to pray for you, our church loves to pray for people. It is one of the highlights of our service is when we get to come together and agree together in faith and believe that God is going to answer prayers. One of the ministers in our church has been around the globe, has been in some very large churches, and he said, "Pastor, I have never seen as many answers to prayer as I have seen from that God has done for Merit Assembly of God." We don't say that to brag on ourselves. We do say that to bring glory and honor to Jesus. So if you have a situation in your life that you would like for us to stand in faith with you, contact us at meritassembly@hotmail.com. You can connect with us on Facebook. You can send us a message on Facebook. You can email us. You can phone a prayer request in at 321-454-4263. You can send in a postcard. Whatever you do, I just want to let you know, we will stand in faith with you. Verse number 23, Hebrews chapter 10. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. A long time ago, I preached a sermon series out of the book of Hebrews on all of the lettuces. I called it the Lettuce Patch Sermon or series. This one here is very special. Don't allow your circumstances to undermine your faith or to whip you around and cause you to be double-minded. Instead, I encourage you to hold fast your confession of hope. Do not waver, for the God who holds you in the palm of his hand is faithful. He will not blink. He will not sleep. He will not be negligent in what he's doing. He will keep you in the palm of his hand. God bless you. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an ocean breeze.